Evening, boys.
Evening, Sally.
Welcome to The Chatting, your local podcast. I'm Rob.
I'm Kirk.
I'm Mark.
And I'm
the other Mark.
3 pints, Sally. And what are you having?
Yeah, I'll have a corpse reviver.
Cheers. I'll fetch him over.
Evening, boys.
Evening, Kirk.
Evening.
We all well?
All right.
Yes. Wonderful.
Yeah, yeah,
thank you.
Had a good week? Yeah, very
brilliant.
Good.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, good, good. Hey, yeah. I've been watching some on Netflix.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
There's quite a lot of things on there.
There is a lot of things on Netflix.
I don't know how you can manage to watch something on Netflix. I must have watched every trailer for every program on Netflix. Every trailer.
As in, and you spend all night doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. And then you're like, I don't know what I want to watch. And then you turn the telly off.
Well, my normal thing is oh, so watch that. Yeah, it's bedtime. Oh, okay, yeah.
Yeah.
If you don't realise, you've just scrolled for 2 hours.
You've done 30 trailers and then you go to bed.
Sorry, Kurt, what was it?
I don't do that. I honestly don't.
I don't do that. I don't even watch Netflix.
If there's
you won't pay for it. That's why you're tight.
Absolutely. If there's something that I like the look of, I switch it on. And if the first episode gets me, then I'll watch it. And that's it.
Is that it?
That's it.
So, what have you been watching?
So, it's a bit of a documentary / reality TV, but don't frown too quickly. Because it is more of a documentary, a bit of a fly on the wall sort of thing.
Yeah.
And I found it really interesting. So what it were, it's a prison in America. So I think it's called Unlocked, the program. Unlocked, a prison experiment.
Oh, wow. This sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Let them all out, see what happens.
Yeah. So basically,
in a country where guns are legal.
Yeah. So basically it was a prison. So it's like, I think they call them a county jail. So basically it's where people go and they might be either awaiting transfer to a federal prison or they're awaiting trial. For the trial. And under normal circumstances, this county prison jail, they do what they call 23-1. So they spend 23 hours a day locked in the cell.
Solitude.
In the cell. Right.
Wow.
And 1 hour a day out in you know.
Is this a prison or an hotel you're talking about here?
Yeah, prison.
All right.
So 23 hours a day locked away, 1 hour out freedom. And the sheriff of the county was working with the chief of the police of the prison to try something new, and his kind of mentality was, if you treat a prisoner like an animal, then that's how they'll behave.
Yeah.
So he wanted to try something new. So basically, he put it to them that he was going to unlock all the doors, not the external doors, not the external doors, but unlock their cells. Okay. Constantly, 24 hours a day, even like through the night.
Jesus wept.
And he was going to remove the officers, the police officers, the prison officers.
The guards.
Yeah, the guards, out of that unit. So they were still watching them on CCTV, but they were out of the
unit. So like
the
Extreme unit. Big Brother.
Pretty much. Yeah. Yeah.
And taking odds, right. He's going to do it.
Yeah. On the hope that they almost like created their own community.
Okay.
You know, and almost like police themselves.
Right.
And basically saying that this gets them ready for the outside or gives them more independence, obviously doesn't lock them away. And then what he does is over the weeks, because it were like a 6-week trial, and over the weeks he then gave them like the phone calls, for instance, from prison. It normally cost money. So you had to have money on your account to be able to make a phone call to somebody. But there were some people in prison that, because they've got no one such on the outside transferring the money or anything onto their account, they could never make a phone call because they didn't have enough money on there.
So this experiment then was to give people an opportunity to become independent, to find out how to behave outside. When they were outside, they ended up getting arrested.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely. So we'll come to that.
I know where you're going with that, Mark.
So what he was doing, he was giving them benefits. So what he said was, once they're behaving and showing that they could behave, he then made all phone calls free. So they didn't have to pay for the phone calls. They could just ring anyone they wanted.
ordering TVs and vacuum cleaners.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, but he gave them something. And then after a while, he then increased the number of visits they could have. So they used to be able to only have one visit every 2 weeks. And he increased that to 2 visits every week.
Can I just ask you something? So had he made these decisions? Because, like, obviously, I know you're talking about USA, so I'm just struggling with how this prison office...
Can I just say, I'm struggling to get past the fact that when he opened the doors, it wasn't a bloodbath.
I know.
Honestly thought it would have just gone I thought it was literally gone.
Well, I just can't. I'm struggling to go, well, this is what I'm going to do. It's like you going to Amazon. Pull
balls
going,
well,
I'm
going to
do this today. Oof.
Well, what
you can't make decisions like that.
Well, obviously, what you got to remember is America's very different. So America, he's the sheriff. Okay, so almost like the sheriff of a county in America is a bit like our chief of police. Okay, so he works with the chief of the prison and obviously come up with the ideas. So I don't know who he may have had to run it by first. I've absolutely no idea.
Okay,
but
I'll go
was
with
very
that.
Much the authority of trying something new. I found it really interesting. I do like watching things where you're seeing how people behave with each other. Mm-hmm. I know you guys scoff at things like Big Brother or Love Island or whatever, but I actually quite like enjoying them because I like enjoying seeing how human beings behave.
Yeah, in their underwear.
In their underwear, why not? I found it really interesting. I found it really interesting how these people like you, Semar, that...
Me?
No, other one. When they was out in the community, in the real world, if you like, they have obviously broke rules or they've done something to break the law. So then, you know, how can they be trusted? Like you were saying, Rob, how can it be trusted? But it's quite interesting how they changed and adapted, whether some people did, some people didn't, and how some of them, they just couldn't help themselves. So even though they hated the fact of being locked up 23 hours a day, they hated the fact that even when they was given then the opportunity to break away from that, they couldn't help themselves. They had to break the rules.
Mm.
They still had to, things like making their own hooch, you know, the alcohol in the cells, or, you know, one of them lighting wicks to be able to get ink for tattoos. You know, it creates like a soot that they use as ink. And they couldn't help themselves. So even though they knew that by doing that, they would run the risk of this experiment failing.
So basically you're saying it failed then, because obviously they're all misbehaving.
Well, in the end, it didn't fail. In the end, it was touch and go. It was touch and go. Sorry, spoiler alert, if anyone wants to watch it. But in the end, it did say that it would extend it and it would keep it going. Because overall, there was more positive than there were negative. But you did have your others that, you know, they just weren't following the rules. So they just took them out that unit.
Half of them got leathered and came out with loads of rubbish tattoos.
There were some really rubbish tattoos. But, you know, the majority of people got on board with it. But it did, you know, it did make me think about, you know, them people that they just couldn't help themselves. They had to break the rules. They had to stick it to the man, even though that meant
worse they're bad people. Conditions that's it. That's for it. They're criminals, they're bad people.
Well, that's an interesting comment, Mark. So what, all criminals are instantly bad people?
No, I know, I didn't say all of them. And what I'm saying is you said some of them couldn't themselves.
Okay.
And I said the reason why they couldn't help themselves is because they're bad people.
Mm-hmm.
And they're criminals. So even when you gave them something like this, oh, let's open the cells, let's do something good, they're like, I'm still going to be misbehave.
It would be fair to say, though, that bad people do good things and good people do bad things.
Yes.
So there could be the odd person that's in there that they're not necessarily a bad person. They did something stupid and they've ended
that's,
up in
that
there.
As well.
Now, I think that they're fewer. There's a lot less of them than the latter, you know. But I won't tarnish everyone with the exact same brush.
No, not at all.
I mean, it were quite scary because it showed you, obviously, the people that were in there and what they were being charged for or potentially going to be charged for. And you'd got everything from, you know, battery and like, well, equivalent of our GBH or ABH, you know, drugs and stuff, but right up to capital murder. There were literally people in there awaiting trial for capital murder. I mean, there were one guy that's in there that when the program went off, you know, it kind of shows you what happened afterwards, if you like, with these individuals, you know, and he got 20 years plus 15. So he got 35 years.
And that were just for doing tattoos.
And they let him lose with some shoplifters and people that have done something.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it did get me thinking just in general about prisons and stuff like that. And that's why I thought I'd mention it tonight.
Well, it's funny because there was I'm pretty sure it was ITV. It was a drama, not a drama, it was a documentary about the old England rugby squad going into prison.
I've seen it.
They got them to play rugby, basically. They basically went after people that were in prison that I'm guessing had been selected that were of the right mindset to join into this activity, but they basically formed a rugby team out of the prisoners, and they trained them and tried to get them up to a certain where they could play other prison. Was it other prisoners?
No, they were taking on the guards.
Yeah, that's
the
it.
The prison officers.
That's it. They were taking on prison officers, and it that really opened my eyes watching that, because it made them. It made prisoners not more humane. But I saw a side to them that I saw humans.
Humanized.
Yeah.
I saw them.
Yeah. I saw another side to them that you just assume that they're all, absolute whatevers. And I didn't. You could see sides to them and you thought, do you know what? Yeah, there's some buried underneath that facade or a lot of what you're going through. There is a decent person there. You just can't control yourself. That's some of the nicer people.
I remember watching a programme, it was a while ago, about this, Behind the Bars or whatever it were. And again, it was in America. And this guy was talking to the camera. And basically, he'd killed somebody when he was 15. So when he was 15 years old, he'd killed somebody.
Right.
And by this point now, he was like in his mid-40s. And he will spend the rest of his life in prison. That was his term. He got the rest of his life in prison. And he said to Cameron, it's something that has always sat with me, that although he understands that he's been punished for something that he did wrong, and he accepts that punishment, what he was basically saying, that at the age that he was now, he's a different person to what he was when he was 15. You know,
well, he's going to be, yeah, because he was 15, he was a child, now he's an adult.
So, you know, I am interested to hear your views on this, Mark.
All
yes,
right.
You.
Yes.
Yes, you.
What about prisons in America?
Well, my first question to you is
why America?
Do you think that's the case? Do you think that somebody, let's say, committing a crime, such a heinous crime at 14, 15 years old, mm-hmm. Can be then a different person by the time they're 40, 50 years old, and should they then be given a second chance?
I think if you ask me about an adult, I'd be able to answer it a little bit more easier. This is a bit harder, saying a child killing someone at 14, 15, because it's extremely rare that happens.
Yeah.
It does happen, but it's rare. And a lot of the time when it happens is there's a lot of reasons behind it. You know, the recent one with that... that girl that was stabbed, you know, and there were two of them, weren't there? You know, there was a recent one with that, and there were a lot of backstories to why, mm-hmm. you know, and then there's the James Bulger one. So it's rare that it happens. However, I don't know how I feel about it. I can't really answer it as from a child point of view. If you ask me from an adult point of view, if you're an adult and you kill someone, mm-hmm. what, are you asking what should happen to them, or should they serve?
Well, my initial question is: do people deserve a second chance?
If I could answer
not
you
if,
a question,
not if they've murdered someone, I don't think.
Okay.
Well, let me just jump in there before we go down a different another rabbit hole. I feel's coming. I would say that it all depends on the reform or the system that's put in place in the prison they're at, as to how much effort's been put into changing that person's perspective or psychology whilst they're in there, because you're taking a person that's obviously still at an age where they can be educated and can be taught. Now, obviously, if there's mental health issues in there and they are of a psychopathic mind or whatever it is, then they might struggle. But if they have done something that could be educated out of them, or I don't exactly know if that's the right way of saying it, then that might be a way that you could say, well, actually, depending what they are like at the point of release, then therefore I would sit on.
But what you're talking about, and I'm not saying I disagree, by the way, mm. but what you're talking about is how someone might have changed, so therefore they could be then safe in the community. Mm. What I'm talking about is, would they deserve it in the first place?
Yeah.
Would they deserve that second chance, or would they deserve that effort put into reform and change into, you know, do they deserve it?
Yeah.
Or is it a case of that once you cross that line and break the law, you know, to that degree?
And did you say murder?
Murder, yeah.
And yeah. Are we saying that it was undeniable, as in
premeditated?
The policeman's walked up and he's holding the knife. And he's looking at him and says, "Yeah, I've done it."
Well, the guy that I'm talking about, that on the program that I saw a couple of years ago, he admitted it. He'd done it. and he'd taken his crime, he'd taken his punishment for the crime that he'd committed. He wasn't sat there on camera saying, "Woe is me." He wasn't saying that. What he was saying is, "I did that crime. This is my punishment. I'll take the punishment." However,
well,
that it was, you know, 30 years ago or whatever it were, and he was saying that he's a different person now. And although he understands that he'll never get parole, he'll never get released, but fundamentally, he is a different person now.
In that instance, I know what you're getting at, Mark, and we'll probably go there. But it's a different thing entirely if he's over 18 as such, mm-hmm. or what we would class as an adult. Mm-hmm. Whereas at that age, it's such a difficult one to understand, or for me to even make comment on. I don't really know what I think about it. Whereas when you get past that and you get into adulthood, I have a very different mindset, I think.
So Mark's been very quiet.
I'm deep in thought, and I've got multiple points of view.
And I
often have the sort of internal battles, if you like, with what I think is the right thing and the wrong thing to do in certain situations, with, you know, like you say, with the justice and so on. I think it depends on the circumstance of the crime, ultimately, first and foremost. Because I think there are clearly some people that, and I don't think, to some extent, we will never know the answers as to why they do certain things, but they are seemingly inherently evil.
Yeah.
There are some people that have got something, you know, there is something that exists within that person, whether it be a chemical imbalance, whether it be a personality disorder, whether it be just, I don't know, some sort of fixation, and I don't think in certain situations that can be cured, mm-hmm. and that risk always exists. Yeah. In which case, that risk has to be managed, and the only way of managing that is excluding them from the risk, mm-hmm. of other people.
Yeah.
So the guy in Nottingham who killed all those people, that guy should never see the light of day. Mm-hmm. The two kids that you talked about with the Bulger case, granted they were very young at the time, they've given chance of reform and re-education and whatever else, and they've broken the terms of
one of the killers, but I'm not sure about the other one.
I think they both have.
Have they both? I know one.
If you've given somebody that opportunity, and the risk, then that's it. Remove the risk. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You're back to square one. Then that's where you stay.
Yeah.
Because, you know, there are other people that want to live a normal life, and they should do so without fear of or the risk of that person, because he's going to be in somebody else's community, and then ultimately everyone is at risk of something happening. So there are people out there that are, I think, just evil, and Ian Huntley, for example, people like that, they should never see the light of day.
Never see the light of day, or if I dare ask the question, mm-hmm. and I will put it out there to everyone.
Fire away.
Sorry to, you know, what about capital punishment?
Well, so before we get to that point, there's a couple of stages I want to cross before we get to make my opinion on that.
Okay.
There are people that I think may have committed murder, and I suppose to some extent you've got to, this is down to people making full assessments of people, whether it be something that's done in a situation where they're, some people will do it in self-defence, and, you know, they get charged, and there are circumstances that aren't necessarily black and white and
clean cut.
Absolutely. Premeditated, or that person is going to kill somebody regardless of who they are, but at some point it's just in them that they're going to do something. So there are people out there that have, as we know, that have committed murder on people that we know personally. I don't think they should see the light of day.
Nope.
You know, to go into a public space carrying a weapon and then using that weapon in such a way to end somebody's life, they should never be released.
That's all. That to me is premeditated. That to me, anytime you walk out the house with a weapon of any sort, that to me is instantly premeditated.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I think coming to sentencing, I think anybody carrying a knife, and I suppose there may be things within what I'm saying now where people could find a counter argument. But I think the only way to, you talk about murder is quite rare, it's not amongst young people. You look at cities all over the country, it'd be knife crime. There's kids getting killed at school on the way home from school, in the playgrounds, on the streets, buses. You know,
Well, it is, but it is extremely. It's still rare. Children killing children.
It's not. It's not as rare as you think it is. Don't get me wrong. It may not be an everyday occurrence, but I dare say it's probably more days than it isn't. And with some of this,
I mean, when I say about rare, I'm talking about children killing. I mean, a lot of it's gang related.
But they're children.
Of course it is. But that's taken into a different. Different, you know.
I know we're talking about knife crime in general or actual murder, as in they've killed.
Well,
the person.
It is murder, but what I'm saying is, there are situations within that where these people have been caught up in something that's not necessarily something that they would have chosen to do, but they've ended up on a path that they, you know, either they couldn't help, they've been groomed or whatever, you know, they've got caught up in gang culture, as you say, they don't see any other way to exist other than by doing what the people around them are doing, and they get caught up in something. I think those people can be re-educated, or certainly some of them can. And so I think it's difficult to say, well, you're never going to get released. You know, you've stabbed somebody else. I appreciate there's a victim side to it, and there's, you know, families that they'll be like, well, hang on a minute, they shouldn't be, because they've taken my child away. They shouldn't be. And I fully understand that. But I don't know whether threatening everybody with, you talked about capital punishment, we talk about, you know, banging everybody up. Look at some of the worst prisons in the world. Like, you know, in Mexico, Colombia, places like, yeah. Some of the worst prisons in the world.
Worst conditions.
And they're absolutely packed.
Yeah.
So it's clearly not a deterrent.
Mm. Well, you said they're packed, we're packed.
I understand that. We talk about capital punishment, but there are still people going on to death row in America.
Yeah.
It's clearly not a deterrent.
Yeah.
So, although I do think, and sometimes I'll see a story in the news, and somebody will have done something, you know, like you say, completely heinous, and I think, why should anybody waste any money in trying to look after that person that's never going to get released, they're never going to be able to contribute to society. What they have done in society is taken away completely and devastated lives. So, you know, stick them on death row. But I don't. But then you've got to put somebody in a position that's going to end their life. So then you've got to have somebody who's going to be like, well, I've no qualms in ending somebody else's life. And then it's a lot bigger thing than firing from the hip and saying, oh yeah, just hang them. Well, who's going to hang them?
If you're talking about capital punishment, yes, in America you could say it doesn't work because
it's still happening. It's still happening.
However, the thing is, they don't execute that many people in America. They don't execute really. Mm. I mean, you can be on death row for years.
Yeah.
So the deterrent, almost, the playing devil's advocate here. You're not going to do if you do a crime, you're not going to go, oh, Christ, I'm going to get executed next week. You could be in jail for 30 years. It's not really a deterrent, because they're not. If they were doing more executions, then I think the deterrent would be there.
I mean, I personally,
it's completely different.
I didn't think it was a deterrent. I've never ever thought that capital punishment was a deterrent. I always thought it was to control numbers in prisons. There's going to be an argument against what I'm saying. What I mean is exactly what Mark just said. If they're never going to see the light of day, and all that's going to happen is they're just going to get fed and watered till they die, well, that costs money. Therefore, and there is an argument, by the way, that it costs more to actually put someone on death row than it does be to do. I don't quite get.
Well, that's going back to what Mark said about the amount of time they spend on death row.
Yeah.
That's the problem.
Yeah.
And the thing is, Robert, I understand where you're coming from. I don't think that capital punishment is driven from finance. Mm-hmm. I don't, because capital punishment's been around for hundreds of years.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so I genuinely think that the idea of capital punishment is the ultimate...
It's cultural.
It's the ultimate thing, isn't it?
It's some, you know, I'm not going to sort of specify America exclusively, but I think there are some people that, if you've taken somebody of mine, then I want you. You should face the ultimate punishment.
Eye for an eye.
Yeah, exactly. And so, and I fully understand that, because I think if I was in that situation, and you know, heaven forbid that somebody should take anyone that I loved, or any, you know, friends, family, whatever. Your first thing is, well, that's it. Ultimate. They've killed them. They should suffer the consequences too. It's difficult, isn't it? Because, like you say, you've got to have somebody who's going to carry out that punishment. You know, they're going to give them the injection or the electric chair or whatever it is that they do. But ultimately, I think for me, and it's difficult because there are people out there who will just commit crime, but there are people that can probably just be teetering on the line of crime, and if there's a strong enough deterrent, they would choose not to. What that deterrent looks like, I don't know, because it's clear that across the world, you have some of the most extreme consequences for some of the smallest crimes. I mean, you look at the Middle East, you get caught, you know, stealing.
Have your hand chopped off.
Absolutely. And
yeah. Well, yeah. Is there a lot of stealing, though? I don't think there is. So does it work?
I don't know.
I don't think they have a lot of crime in Saudi Arabia. I don't think. I don't know.
I'm sure they have plenty of crime, but not by numbers that correlate to other countries that don't have those punishments.
I would say they have plenty of crime, but
would you reckon it has an impact? I don't know. Mm. I don't know.
So do you think, Mark, that I'm just going on Me? What you yes, you that on what you've said and some of the things that you're saying, that you do believe in maybe harsher forms of punishment?
Yeah, I mean, I do. I mean, the capital punishment thing is, I've always sort of believed that we should have it. However, as more years go on, I get less. You know, as in more, when I was sort of younger, I'd be more like, well, we should bring this back. We should bring back hanging. Mm-hmm. But as years gone on, I thought, maybe not. However, what I do think is for crimes where people have clearly murdered people and they've admitted killing people. I mean, one thing that does baffle me, I understand it, but it still baffles me, is that we're like when somebody does a mass murder or whatever and they admit to it and it's on video, for example, and we can see them, we don't see them, but, you know, the courts can see it, you know, the police can see it, and then they have a trial. I mean, I understand they have a trial because that's the procedure. Mm-hmm. But it's almost like, why are we spending millions of pounds on a trial that's going to last for 6 months? And at the end of it, they'll go, oh, he's guilty. And we know because we saw him on camera do it. Yeah. And he's admitted it. So why? I mean, listen, I know that's our system, but it really does baffle me why we have these trials that go on for so long. Mm. I'm like, why? I don't understand. Yeah. It makes no sense.
I know. I know we sometimes skirt around the edge of this, and I'm guilty of it. But I am happy. I'm just happy to just say it. You know, it's the likes of them that genuinely, I would bullet.
Well,
instantly.
this is where I was.
There's no ifs, buts, or maybes from my point of view in this. If someone has walked around a shopping mall and he's been seen, as soon as the police get to him, there's no arrest, you just bullet him. I'm sorry. And I know that that's quite a strong opinion to have, but that's genuine, because I wouldn't waste any further money or anything on that person.
I agree with you to some degree. I was just going to finish my point off with what I was saying about trials. So what I'm saying is, yes, I understand we have a trial, but then I think then what should happen is that there should be capital punishment for him. He should die, or she. You know, it's as straightforward as that, because they've admitted it, we've seen it, there's witnesses. They've killed multiple people. Well, even if they've only to kill one, then they should die.
I suppose the counter argument is, it's not until they get to something like a trial where they start getting cross assessed that they could probably identify that there might be an issue with that person. I'm not for a second justifying what they've done. But what I'm saying is, there may be mitigating circumstances.
What, it weren't there?
No. I don't know.
I think you're probably talking about what the mental issues and things like that. Again, it makes no difference to me personally. If they've got mental issues, or, you know, like they plead, you know, insane, fine, you're insane. We're still going to hang you. It's as simple as that. You're still going to die.
The thing with certain types of capital punishment that used to exist was done so in such a... It was almost paraded, wasn't it? It was almost like a display of...
Probably going back a long time
You mentioned hanging, and that's you know... And that's what it was. It was more of a... almost a ceremonial thing, but it was more like, on show, this is what happens if you
do
this.
Yeah, it was. It was like that.
And so it was almost a deterrent. I don't think, you know...
The other problem is as well is it's when it's not what we've just spoke about, where it's not as black and white as
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And we judge it by the standards that we expect in this country with our justice system, and maybe America in some parts, some probably not as good as others, but there's other countries outside of that that we've no idea just how fair that systems are. And even the things like confession, you know, I don't know what country, there's plenty out there, they're tortured to give a confession. They're electrocuted.
Then you can give a false confession, can't you?
Yeah. And so they're confessing because they can't take it anymore. Yeah, so they confess, and the next minute they're getting hung for confessing something they didn't do because of the pain.
The thing is, Rob, a decent defence lawyer, barrister or whatever, would tell you that no crime is black and white. Right. And that's the thing. I'm with you, by the way. I'm totally with you. You know, when I think about who was the guys that killed the ex-soldier in London.
Rigby guy.
They were guys with literally machetes, weren't they? I mean, they were celebrating what they'd done and stuff like that. To me, it is a black and white case.
It was extremism, that, wasn't it?
Yeah, I mean, that to me is end of story. Yeah. But
lawyers are going to say that because it's about money. Baffles me with lawyers is that you almost get... I mean, if you look at it in one way, lawyers or solicitors, whatever you want to call them, I'm not saying they're bad people, but when they're representing people like these guys, you go, why are you representing somebody who's a bad person?
Yeah.
Why would you do... Where does your moral sit?
We have those conversations.
It's about money. They're driven by money. All they want is money, and they charge a lot of money.
And it's their job, isn't it?
It's their job. But to get off bad people?
Yeah, but that's their job. Their job is to defend, and they have to defend.
Absolutely,
it's their job.
Yeah. But at the end of the day, I'd be like, I can't do this because this is not morally right. I mean, it makes them a bad person.
I know what you mean, and I must admit there are times when myself and Helen will have this conversation when we watch the news or we watch, you know, a documentary or whatever about somebody who's killed somebody or done something really bad, and there are lawyers, like you say, that go to defend that person, and knowing that person is guilty, and aim to get down whatever sentence they can, and you're right, you sit there and you think, how on earth could you defend that?
Yeah,
you know,
absolutely.
You could, like, you talk at somebody who might, you know, a paedophile, for example, or somebody like that, and you think, how could you defend that? You know, and
I'd almost like saying to him, look, if we didn't pay you any money, would you still defend him? No, because it's my job, I need pay.
Yeah,
but you're doing it from a moral point of view, aren't you? Surely you're trying to... You're supporting from a moral point of view.
There are a lot of defence lawyers or whatever that naturally go into... Because don't forget, if you study law and you go through, there's lots of avenues that you can study in law. But if you're doing criminal law, at a certain point in your career, you decide whether you want to be a prosecutor or a defendant. And I think that depends what sort of person you are. Fundamentally, I couldn't be a defence lawyer. From exactly what you've just said there, I could quite happily be a prosecutor. I'd quite happily do that. You know, but I do think that a lot, and I'm going to say a lot, I'm not going to say all, I'm going to say a lot of defence lawyers, I truly believe that they go into that side, yes, for the money, of course there's money.
Thinking they can turn it around.
Let's just take money out of it for the second, because it don't matter whether you're prosecuting or defending, you're earning the money. I think it's their thought process of wanting to protect human rights. And this is where we go down a completely different avenue of, well, this is what the justice system's all about, because it becomes about where do we draw the line with someone's human rights when it comes to punishment. So, therefore, you'll say that that person's committed that crime, they're guilty, how can you defend them? Well, sometimes it's not about just defending them or just trying to get them off. A lot of time that defence as lawyer is making sure that that's a fair trial, making sure that they're getting treated fairly, making sure that the punishment fits the crime. And I think that's the bigger topic, if you like, that when you start talking about, does the punishment fit the crime? Because you look at the prisons system that we've got now, we don't have capital punishment, rightly or wrongly, you know, it will always be an ongoing argument, I think. I don't think it'll ever be brought back in this country.
No, it'll never be brought back. And as years go on, I think the shout for it gets less and less.
That surprised me. I've just been looking on here then. Do you know when capital punishment ended in the UK?
Was it the 60s?
I think it was about 1965-ish.
So, I think the last... the last two people that were executed in the UK were Peter Allen and Gwyn Evans on the 13th of August 1964.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
1965, the death penalty for murder in Britain was suspended for 5 years, but then in 1969 made permanent. And in 1998, the death penalty was abolished for all crimes.
I knew it was a bit more modern than people thought about when it was legally abolished.
Yeah, because technically what I just said, all the other previous dates, 1960-odd, that was just for murder. There were other cases that were still left on the cards. I think it's rape and other stuff. Do you know what I mean? That were still on the table that didn't get used.
Well, they're going to say they're just going to leave them on the table. It's because it's easier for them just to leave them there. Not for them to use, but just... there's laws around, isn't there, that's centuries and centuries old that are still there.
That's what I was just about to say. I still don't know whether it's fact or whether it's one of them things that you've heard and you could still face the death penalty for treason. I don't know whether that's a real thing or not. You know, it's something that you hear banded around. Yeah, you know, yeah. But again, it's going back to these.
It's like those old bylaws, isn't it, where a pregnant woman can wee in a copper's hat and that sort of thing.
They still exist,
but they probably very, very rarely.
Rarely.
I mean, that goes into, you know, when I first started talking about this tonight about the prison system, and I know I was talking about in America.
We went straight in with murder, didn't we?
Yeah, we went straight to capital punishment, straight to murder, straight to the top.
We weren't talking about shoplifting, were we?
You know, but what do we think of that? Like, for instance, prison reform and how prisoners are treated in prison. Do we think that it's a fair representation of what we see on the media and stuff? I mean, you know, we tend to see a lot, it gets pushed down our throats a lot about, you know, prisoners having, you know, what TVs
Sky
in the cells
TV and
this, Sky
TV,
you know,
PlayStations.
A, how true is it? And B, should it be like that? Should it be, you've committed a crime, lock the door, throw away the key, and that's it until the time's done?
Pretty much for me.
I must admit, it's very easy to say, no, four concrete walls and a door, that's it. You know, you get locked up. But then, as you were saying earlier, treat people like animals and they'll become animals. But then again,
open the doors and give them freedom and they still become animals.
To
some degree.
There are people that are career criminals. Well, I'm going on holiday for another few months because that's what they've done, another crime very similar to what they've done before, whether it be some sort of robbery, burglary, whatever, and they go back inside, they come back out, they do the same thing, and they spend their entire life doing exactly the same thing. Clearly, prison's not working in that respect. So,
I mean, I've read a few books where I've read things about prison, and I've seen a few things on TV, as we all have. And to some degree, prison, to an outsider that's never been in prison or anything, it's almost like it's its own world. It has an internal working mechanism of life.
Well, that's what they say. They say prisoners become institutionalised. That's what they say.
You know, there's gangs, there's, you know, people are working and trying to live an honest life in prison. There's people in there that are literally just as bad on the inside as they were on the outside, running things, smuggling things in, running businesses inside prison. And you think, wow, it's like it's its own world, it's its own environment, in the politics.
Serious criminals will be serious criminals whether they're locked up or not. Mm-hmm. And they'll always find a way to operate. And I think that's what, you know, to some extent is what you're probably saying, Rob. What I would say is I think there should be certain deterrents and better or stronger sentences for certain things that I don't think exist currently. I think anyone caught carrying a knife, certainly with a knife that looks like it could cause some serious... So not like a pocket knife because they're going to scouts or whatever, but you see these people that are carrying these zombie knives and whatever, and these, you know, it should be an instant 10 years.
So you think minimum term sentencing?
Absolutely.
And these minimum terms should be 10 years. Minimum. And that's what they should serve.
Good behaviour means you don't get any longer rather than you get your sentence halved. You know, you're carrying something with an intent to cause some serious damage or kill somebody. It's a difficult conversation in certain situations because like you talk about, you know, gang crime, and some kids might be carrying these knives as self-defense. However, you know, if you're going to lay the law down and say, right, this is the rule, then, you know, people are going to have to take themselves out of those situations where they feel the need to carry that knife. You know, well, how that's possible, I'm not sure. But something I do want to come on to, just aside from that, and I've thought about it for quite a long time, but I've extended my thinking in the, like, emergency workers, emergency service workers getting attacked at work.
Yeah.
These should be a minimum sentence. They should, again, well, 10 years.
Aren't they on changing law for this or something? Are they bringing something in?
They should be. I don't know whether they are, but they should do. But then I started thinking a little bit more. As I watched the news recently, and they're talking about more and more people who work in shops are getting attacked.
Yeah.
Because people are trying to nick, you know, bits and pieces, and they're getting attacked. And so perhaps there should be something where if you're attacked at your place of work, then it should be a minimum sentence. Because if there's one thing you want, I mean, you should be safe and feel safe wherever you go in life. But certainly doing your job,
yeah,
you know, there should be a minimum sentence, I think, for people who cross that line, come into your place of work, you know, with the intention of causing harm. I suppose you could extend that to home as well. But certainly, I think, you know, you look at the rise in certain areas of crime where it needs stamping down on, doesn't it?
Just based on what you were saying, Mark, I'd literally just stumbled across this. The sentencing bill, there's a sentencing bill currently waiting to go to committee in the House of Commons, which is intends to increase time served for serious offences. Rape and other sexual offences currently serve 2/3 of their sentence and the rest of the time in supervision. But under the new law, would now serve the entire sentence in custody and additional time supervised. I think they call it on licence, don't they? Where you come out, you have a tag or whatever it's called.
Yeah, and you go on those sorts of crimes, so sort of sexually related crimes.
Yeah,
they should be. You know, it should be full term, absolutely full term. No good behaviour, because you've crossed that line the minute you've taken that decision to do something as heinous as that.
It looks like the bill is a lot bigger than that. It's not just for them crimes, by the way. I'm not going to go through it all, but so it's more than just that. But it does look like there's something coming in that they are trying to push that does, you know.
I mean, what I have a problem with as well is, obviously, when they go to prison and they get 10 years or whatever and they come out after 5 foot, you're on good behaviour. I mean, the good behaviour thing, I mean, what's going off with that? I mean, that's like, well, if you just act like a normal person, like what we do in everyday life, well, like, why is that a thing? They should be behaving themselves anyway. They shouldn't be rewarded by coming out of prison for being a good person.
I absolutely agree with you. But what's the point in sentencing guidelines if then people are only serving half of them sentences? Yeah. But let's look at it logically. We're all kind of intelligent people. That there is a problem with overcrowding prisons.
Yeah.
So it's all right, we can sit here now and go, do you know what, minimum term 10 years for that, minimum term 20 years for
bang
that.
Bang them all up.
No half measures, no one after half, you know, no parole, no this, no that. Absolutely. But the prisons are full. So what's the answer?
Build more prisons.
Build more...
Yeah, and the problem is how long it takes to build a prison. Well, yeah. You're not building out a breeze block.
Well, we take years to build things in the UK. Everything takes...
Let alone a prison.
Bridges, motorways, railways. It takes us years.
And the cost.
We crap at it.
Imagine how much it must cost to build a prison that has to... Especially in today's day and age, that has to secure these people that can't escape. It's not like building an IKEA or building a, you know, a school, or it's got to be like locked down where you can't get in or out.
There's the other side of the argument as well, that people will go, well, yeah, you know, minimum term sentences. I'm fully behind that, by the way, minimum term sentences. But some people sit there. I think. Do they say now it's about 40 to £50,000 per year per prisoner
to look after
that it costs the taxpayer. Wow. Do you know what I mean? So therefore, if you are going to make them serve their full term, let's say, and not release them early, then A, what's the incentive for them inside to behave, if you like, or reform? What's the incentive if they've no chance of getting out earlier? The longer that they're in the prison for, the more money it's costing the taxpayer.
Well, they should be just good people anyway. I mean, that's the point. I mean, if they're bad people, then they should stay in prison. If they're good people, then they should be just serve your turn 10 years and then come out.
But in your mindset, what you've just said, if they were good people, they wouldn't have made do the crime in the first place.
Well, there they go. So they won't be in prison.
So we're back to the same thing what you said at the beginning, that all people in prison are bad people.
No, but if they're in prison, they shouldn't be getting out after 5 years or whatever for good behaviour. They should be having good behaviour in prison. Anyway, that's my point.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll tell you, we've got a friend who would love this, who's going to love this episode, isn't they? Our friend Tracy.
Oh, Tracy, yeah. Shout out for Tracy.
Yeah, she's going to love this. She'll love this episode.
I'm sure we'll get an email saying everything that we've said that's wrong.
It's wrong.
Time at the bar, please.
Looking at this, that sounds like exactly what they're doing. The new reform is that you do serve longer in prison and spend less and then come out of prison and have it extended on top of that.
Yeah.
So it'd been pretty much what you're saying, Mark. I didn't realise that whole life order, that's the term used when you are spending life in prison.
Yeah, your entire life.
It's difficult because no one's ever going to know the results of changing the justice system.
No.
You know, and certainly prisons and so on. And what the results are going to be until they do something for so long. And because, you know, we've already said, longer sentences, stricter sentencing, but then you look at some of the worst prisons, it will be packed. So is it going to work? Who knows?
Who knows?
What you want to try and do is deter those people that are on the line and, like I said, the periphery of potentially committing a crime that might go, actually, no, this is not worth it, you know.
I'll tell you one thing, the fact that we're sitting around here talking about this now and giving us opinions, I would hate to be the person that has to make these decisions.
Yeah.
Because they are not easy decisions to make, are they?
No.
I mean, we're throwing it around. Like, I think this, I think that. And, you know, I'll say now, I'm uneducated in this, so I'm giving opinions. I don't really have the right to give them, but I would not want to be the person
that has to make it. You've got a right to say an opinion.
Yeah.
Because it's not wrong or right. It's just an opinion.
Yeah. I'm going to say it's not. Yeah.
I've got a question for you guys then, regardless of prison. So I know what my viewpoint is. Do you think prisoners should have the right to vote while they're in prison?
Oh, good question.
Okay.
Because obviously I know what they do get, and I don't agree with it.
Yes, I believe they should have a right to vote.
Okay.
Basically because they are still a citizen. You could, the fact that whoever is in power affects them directly, whether that's on the justice system, whether it's when they're released back out, you know, into civvy world or whatever it is, they still have a right to be a citizen.
Well, my argument would be if we deem that they deserve to be alive, then they deserve to vote.
Okay.
You know what I mean? If you want to take that right away from them, then you may as well just kill them.
Okay. You know? Well, I'm okay. Mark?
I'm undecided, if I'm honest. I think if you've been taken out of the situation where you can make free choices, i.e., you know, you're incarcerated for
taking your liberties away.
Free liberties. Then should you be able to have a vote to impact on people that have got those liberties and who your vote could impact? So, I mean, if you've got someone who might never see the light of day and they're voting on who's going to be in power, but, I mean, I don't think it's... I don't know, it's a difficult one. It's a difficult one.
I don't think they should be able to vote because, I think they lose that right when they committed the crime, so they should lose that. Bearing in mind, it's not as if I'm sort
you're
of saying...
taking food and water off.
I'm not taking food and water off. No. What I'd be interested to know is how many prisoners would actually care about voting. I mean, I don't know. I can't imagine if them going, listen, I want to vote, that's really important to me.
You have to understand that not every criminal drags their knuckles across the pavement when they walk.
Yeah, exactly.
No,
you know, there are very intelligent and professional people that are career criminals, or even people that have just done something they shouldn't have done. You know,
made a bad choice, got in with the wrong people.
Good people do bad things. Bad people do good things.
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell you something. If it's one thing that I've certainly thought about when I've been watching these documentaries and looking about prisons and stuff, because I do find it very fascinating, is I wouldn't survive a week in prison. I'm far too pretty for prison.
I know that beautiful note.
Absolutely. It's been a pleasure, guys.
See you next week. Stay out of trouble. See you. Bye-bye.
Do you have a dilemma? Maybe a burning question you're longing to be answered? Or you just want to get in touch with us? Why not drop us a voice note or a message over email at inthechat@gmail.com. That's two N's, not one N, because one N, it doesn't matter. inthechat@gmail.com. We look forward to hearing from you.